shed another tear for today. 'Cause oh, I know that there'll be better days.
Better days.
The return to glory.
Mahomes is simply special.
Shed another tear for today. 'Cause oh, I know that there'll be better days.
I love that piece. We're with you on Get Up. Many of you yesterday spent the afternoon reliving Tiger Woods' extraordinary win at the 2019 Masters. He was with Jim Nantz live yesterday on CBS talking their way through it. Here's Tiger on the moment he made the winning putt.
The fun part about the whole thing is I don't remember screaming, and I don't remember putting my arms up, and I don't remember yelling. I remember I said, okay, let's get to, you know, Fran and his caddy and Tony and his caddy, and then shook their hands, and then where the hell's Joey? I need Joey. And finally found Joey and said we did it, because we did it together. He was there in those low times, and there's a lot of times that I've told Joey, hey, would you just go on to another bag? In the meantime, I don't know how long I'm going to be out or whether I'm ever able to do this again. He said, no, I'm with you.
Joey is Joe LaCava, who is his caddy, and stayed with him through all of the ups and so many of the downs that Tiger had leading back to that win. And again, when he now keeps the jacket until November when they hope to play this year's Masters, and we certainly hope that they will do it. And we will be here to get through all of this together, all of us as sports fans. And again, as always, we do our show primarily right now for the medical professionals and the first responders among you who need a little break from all the stuff you're dealing with. We're trying to be that break as best we can. And we have a huge hour coming your way starting right now. We're going to get up with Tua, firing back at those who say he's injury prone. His problem is they are right. So what happens next week? We've got the answers. Then the plan is in place for these stars to make their return to the floor. We had Windy live with the latest on how the NBA is looking to return. You'll hear all the details. And he's the best back in the draft. But how are teams doing their homework on him during the pandemic? We will ask Jonathan Taylor when he joins us live on Get Up, which starts right now with Get Up and Go, where Rudy Gobert revealed during an Instagram live last night that he recently spoke with his teammate Donovan Mitchell. And Gobert downplayed the reported tension between the two due to Gobert's behavior before both tested positive for COVID-19. Elsewhere, Deion Sanders tweeted yesterday that he was joking about being upset with Todd Gurley for deciding to wear Deion's number 21 with the Falcons. Gurley had said on Friday that Sanders had asked him not to take that number. Peter King is reporting that NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell will announce the first round picks in the upcoming NFL draft from the basement of his home in Bronxville, New York. The draft starts a week from Thursday on April 23rd. I'll say it again. It was good enough for Tom Hanks on Saturday night. It's good enough for Roger. And then 10 more days until the NFL draft. And the biggest question on everyone's mind is who is going to roll the dice on Tua Tagovailoa? On Friday, these were really interesting comments. Tua trying to downplay concerns that he's injury prone, telling his former offensive coordinator and current Maryland head coach Mike Loxley on Instagram Live, quote, I'm not playing badminton. I'm not on the swim team. Football is a physical sport. You're going to get hurt. That just comes with it. And it was just very unfortunate that I got hurt every season. It's a part of the game. It's a contact sport. I can only control what I can control. I can't control that. Those are interesting comments. But he doesn't have a decision to make. NFL teams have a decision to make. And this guy's got the inside on it for us. It's Dan Graziano, our NFL insider. We're now 10 days away from a decision that we have been speculating about for what feels like forever, Dan. What are you hearing right now from NFL front offices about Tua?
Yeah, Greeny, hearing that there is a conundrum here. You hit it on the head. It's not Tua's decision to make. It's some NFL team's decision to make. And the fact of the matter is no one's questioning the young man's toughness. No one's questioning his ability. No one's questioning that football is a difficult game where people get hurt. But But the fact of the matter is, there are NFL teams, GMs, personnel people, owners who will believe, who will tell you if a guy got hurt a lot in college, he's a good bet to get hurt again in the pros. And if the Miami Dolphins and the LA Chargers and the Carolina Panthers are among those teams, then there's a chance that they don't take Tua. So that's the issue here with 10 days to go. Team, let's focus on the Dolphins, right? Everybody knows the Dolphins need to come out of this with a quarterback. They've been tied to Tua for a long time. They have a conundrum. They have a decision to make. Do you risk the number 5 pick on a player when you have concerns about his long-term durability? Do you trade up to pick number 3 to make sure you get that player? These are the conversations that are going on with and around the Miami Dolphins right now and around other teams that might be interested in taking a quarterback high in the first round.
All right, Dan, stay with me. I'm coming back to you. But do I have Laura? But Laura, here's the thing. Laura and Marcus and Dan are with me this morning here for those of you who are just joining us. So here's what we know. You have done extraordinary reporting and very detailed on the surgery and on the hip and the recovery. And he may very well be healthy right now. That we believe we know. What I think we know without any question, despite what he may say, is he is injury prone. And that is just a reality here. And Laura, there's no doctor who can suggest otherwise, right? And that has to be, if I'm an NFL team, that's my biggest concern.
Right. And it continues to be the biggest concern of any team, to Dan Graziano's point, that will be interested in Tua and has been interested in Tua. I think what we're dealing with here is obviously a conundrum, but there's so much more to it. I mean, you look back at these injuries. It's important to note that both ankle surgeries were done for Tua because they were trying to get him back to play in the college football playoff. I mean, there's really no other way to look at it. They really wouldn't have done those surgeries otherwise. They are actually surgeries that create a zip tie in somebody's ankle and allow them to be stronger going forward. The reason why I bring that up is because, Greeny, to your point, we are saying that this guy is injury prone. He's had all these injuries in the past. That's a part of his story. But what's also a part of his story is that these surgeries, for the medical reasons that we've illustrated, will make him stronger. Now, he just has to continue to stay healthy. I think one thing too, and Dan Orlovsky and Marcus can speak to this as well, what does happen here is you're seeing Tua come out and say, I'm not hiding anything. I'm showing you everything I possibly can, which is all he can do right now. That's going to continue to be where he lies. What I do know as well is the teams that were interested in Tua really liked that tape that they sent out, that pro day that they sent out. They were very impressed by that, specifically some of those 47-yard throws that really required a lot of movement in the pocket, really showing how healthy and how good he does look right now.
Now, that was the tape that he put out last week. Dan, I know you said you spent some time looking at it. What did you see?
Yeah, the tape was really good. It was everything that you could hope for, whether Tua was healthy or not. I mean, there wasn't a lot of evidence. Now, I would say that near the end of that tape, you saw a little bit of fatigue and a little bit of favoring of his hip. But again, this is a month of heavy work that he's had. But the tape was outstanding. Greeny, I want to touch on the quote a little bit. Tua talks about the sport being a violent sport. There's no debate about that. But what quarterbacks do when they get into the NFL and how they mature is they make it less violent for them. Guys like Drew Brees play a certain way to make sure their body's not exposed. Matthew Stafford had to learn this as a young player who took a ton of injuries and changed the way he played. So he needs to realize that it is a violent sport, but you take some of that violence away by the way you play. He talked about control the things I can control. Well, you can control how much you expose your body to unnecessary hits. And that's going to be a big, big growth thing for Tua. And I believe he's smart enough to do that. And Greeny, I'm going to throw a question back at you, and I actually want you to answer this. Got two quarterbacks that came out of the college football that had some injury tie to them were Deshaun Watson and Carson Wentz. And both have suffered injuries in the NFL that have hurt their ability to be on the field. They've missed some games from it. Would you still want those two guys as your quarterback? Because every general manager in the NFL would. Would you want that, even knowing some of the injury history?
Yes, right now I definitely would. But you don't draft... If Carson Wentz plays 10, 12 healthy years, if Deshaun Watson plays 10, 12 healthy years, then it was the right decision. And if their careers are ultimately curtailed and cut short by those injuries, then it wasn't. And to me, it's about as simple as that. And we don't know that yet about either of them. Right this minute, of course, you would take either of those guys. They're probably two of the 5 best quarterbacks in the NFL. Swagoo, let me throw it at you, because you may have seen the pop that Himbo put up on our screen there. A better than 50% chance, according to our analytics, that Tua goes 3. That either means Detroit is taking him, or Miami or someone else is trading up to take him. Are you doing that? Because that's quite a it's quite an investment you're making there. That's quite an obligation you're making there, if you will. Are you willing to do that? Trade a whole bunch of stuff to go up there and take him?
Gee, I'm willing to do it. And the reason I'm willing to do it is because I don't want to miss out on Tua. It's betting the better side of the conversation that we're having. But to that point, man, if I'm in that position and I've seen Tua, and Laura and I have extensive knowledge, Dan has extensive knowledge of studying tape on Tua, but Laura and I being around Tua from his maturation process, from him being young to right now, he's a very perspective-driven kid. He understands context. He understands what he needs to do, and he makes those adjustments. You can't play for Nick Saban if you're not willing to adjust. So those are the things that I would draft. I would move up to draft him off of. It doesn't mean I wouldn't be scared as hell, though, G, and it doesn't mean I wouldn't be worried about it, because context is key here. We're talking about a franchise quarterback as opposed to any other position in the NFL. That's why this decision is so difficult. Changing the face of your franchise hinges on this pick.
Absolutely. And we got 9 more days, but the teams at this point basically have all of the information they're going to have. All right. So we've had Dan put together a little list for us here, and we're going to go through them here. These are 3 things that Dan is looking for, 3 things he's hoping for or looking at closely as far as what may happen in the first draft. Dan, what is the first thing you're looking for?
Yeah, Greeny, I want to see the Pittsburgh Steelers find a way to get back into the middle of the first round if Jordan Love falls and draft him. It's a perfect storm in reality, because the Steelers don't have a lot of holes on their football team. They're getting their Hall of Fame quarterback in Ben Roethlisberger back. He's 38 and under contract for 2 more years, and Jordan Love can go there. He can sit. He can be on that Patrick Mahomes type of plan. I want to see the Steelers make that happen.
I love that one. What's the second one?
All right, so the Dolphins, who have multiple first-round picks, and the Las Vegas Raiders, who have multiple first-round picks, and the New England Patriots, who somehow can do things that we can't explain. I want all 3 of those teams to call the Houston Texans and see if they can pry Deshaun Watson away from them. Bill O'Brien's doing some very interesting things as the general manager of the Houston Texans, and I know it sounds crazy, but maybe one of those teams can offer a number of picks either this year or next year and get Deshaun Watson out of Houston.
Right, nothing could possibly top that one. What's number 3?
Well, try me, Greeny. Pick number 17, the Dallas Cowboys. Justin Herbert falls to number 17, and the Dallas Cowboys decide, you know what? We're going to draft Justin Herbert. We love his skill set. We'll sign Cam Newton to a 1 or 2 year deal, and then we can have the option of allowing Dak to walk or signing his franchise tag and then trading him for 2 first round picks. They can use all that leftover money that they're going to save with drafting a young quarterback and signing a guy named Jadeveon Clowney. All of a sudden, that defense is a lot better. We know that the best chance to win soon is in the NFL right now is with a young quarterback and a good team around him. And I think I would love to see it happen, Greg.
But I stand corrected. I stand corrected. You could top the previous one. All right, Swagoo, I'm looking at the look on your face, and I'm trying to read it. Justin Herbert to Dallas, and they let Dak walk. What do you say?
Let me gather myself, G, before. First of all, this is not the bad Justin Herbert, okay? I just heard Jan Orlovsky a few days ago question if Justin Herbert was going to be a good quarterback in the NFL, damn it. That's number 1. Number 2 is, he said young quarterback. Somebody tell me when the hell Dak Prescott got old. Can anybody tell me that? Did this thing take
expensive
us into light years and he's 6-7 years older than what he is right now? The third thing is, and Dan, I'm not going to go crazy because I know what you're doing and I'm not going to fall for it, because you're honestly don't believe any of that foolishness you just said about Deshaun Watson, Marcus, and Justin Herbert going to the Cowboys. Talk to me, Dan.
He's 26, brother. I just looked it up. Prescott is 26. Go ahead, Dan.
Yeah, listen, it's not the age thing. It's the young and inexpensive thing that we've seen be some successful blueprints for the NFL. Marcus, Aaron Rodgers fell to the Packers. Lamar Jackson fell to the Ravens. Ben Roethlisberger fell to the Steelers when they had Tommy Maddox under contract. Teddy Bridgewater to the Vikings. Patrick Mahomes to the Chiefs when they didn't need to. Like, quarterbacks, weird things can happen in the draft when a quarterback can somehow fall and all of a sudden a team is at a decision. We know this. The Cowboys don't want to pay the quarterback a certain number. We know that. That has been proven to us. And so this gives them the opportunity to not have to do that, but still cover themselves. Weird things can happen, and I want to see it.
Have I got Graziano back here? Dan Graziano, what do you think?
Orlovsky's been trying to get Dak Prescott out of Dallas for months. I mean, the idea that the Cowboys don't want Dak Prescott as their quarterback isn't supported by facts. It's just the fact that the deal hasn't been done yet that leads to this kind of speculation.
That's a
they
fact.
Have made efforts to sign him. They have made offers to him that are extremely high, that just aren't the highest paid quarterback in the league, but would make him the second or third highest paid quarterback in the league. And they intend to have him, whether it's on the franchise tag or ideally on a long-term deal. I'm listening and I'm saying that we got 10 more days till the draft, and I'm wondering what else Orlovsky's going to cook up here. I mean, Justin Herbert's falling. The Cowboys are signing Cam Newton. I think a week from now, this is going to be a lot of fun. In reality, I don't see Justin Herbert falling to 17. I think if he drops out of the top five or six, you'll see a team move up and take him earlier than that. I don't think that team will be the Dallas Cowboys, who still believe that they will sign Dak Prescott to a long-term contract and have him as their quarterback for this year and beyond.
I want to defend my friend, Mr. Orlovsky. You have been saying, going back to a year and a half ago, the summer before this past season, that the way you get yourself in trouble is paying good players great player money. And I feel like that's what you're trying to tell us.
Exactly. And I agree with Graziano. Like, the Cowboys could make him an offer. And Graz, you say it's not supported by facts, and then you say the fact is the deal hasn't been done. That's literally a fact. The Cowboys don't want to pay him a certain number, so this gives them the opportunity to get out if it happens.
Graziano, what'd you tell me about your beard?
I'm not shaving till Prescott signs. We've been on this so long. Look, Patrick Mahomes has been eligible for a contract extension for the last 3 months. Does that mean the Chiefs don't want him? I mean, these things take time to get done. The fact of the matter is the Cowboys still want Dak Prescott.
Don't put them in the same category. Slow down.
I just can't stop looking at Swagoo's face. All right, I have to run. We'll come back. Marcus, your face says everything you wanted to add. As we continue, coming up, no date has been set for the NBA to return. But when that happens, we have a blueprint for what it will look like. Jalen Rose will be with us to chime in on that. And looking at the last couple of drafts, which number one is actually number one? Guess what? The answer is none of them. And I, for one, love it. And you're going to hear all about it next. Get up on ESPN.
GEICO knows there are many reasons why you ride, from the camaraderie of the other bikers, a band of brothers, always there for you rain or shine, to the amazing savings you get with GEICO on your motorcycle insurance and accessories coverage all year round. But for Bucky Hornhill, it was one reason in particular.
It was my helmet hair. I was born with helmet hair. I've tried to cut it a bunch of times, even buzzing it, but it immediately just goes back to helmet hair.
GEICO Motorcycle. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
We're back on Get Up, and it has been just over a month since the NBA suspended its season due to the pandemic. Earlier this morning, I had Brian Windhorst live here on Get Up talking about how the league will eventually try to restart. Here's what he said.
Some people I've seen compare this to the lockout back in 2011, but that's just not accurate because a lot of these guys aren't playing basketball. If you have a great house with a beautiful indoor gym or you have access to something like that, you are playing by yourself maybe. But in the lockout, these guys are playing exhibition games and stuff. They are really, the trainers and medical personnel are really worried if there's a restart that there could be injuries, even in the practices leading up.
And thus, as I bring the great Jalen Rose into the conversation, Wendy was saying that the plan on the table, at least it's being discussed, is a 25-day plan where they come back, they have essentially individual workouts for 11 days, which would provide some semblance of social distancing as well. Then 2 weeks, essentially, of five-on-five work before they could go back and play games that actually matter. Does that sound like enough time to you to get guys into shape to be playing really important NBA games?
It definitely sounds adequate, Greeny, and here's why. I'm looking at a 90-day burn. So say, for example, if Major League Baseball is trying to get itself up and back going in May, say the NBA is so very fortunate enough to get tested or needed across the country, obviously that's another subject for another day. But even at that, if you can start your operations, worst case in July, take July, August, and September to complete your season. It can actually happen. You take a 30-day window for presidents and ownership to get back up and operating, for teams and coaches to get back out on the floor and practicing amongst one another. Then after that, you take another 2 to 3 weeks to play another 5 to 7 games to complete the NBA season. And in particular, see what's going to happen with the 8th spot in the Western Conference. And then you take another 4 to 6 weeks to play the playoffs. It could definitely take place. And I know there's going to be some overlap potentially in September based on the NFL season, but this is a unique circumstance. You push the start of next year's NBA season back to November, and then you restart the calendar just for next season. And then the following year, you're back on your normal schedule if that's what you want to do.
Yeah, sometimes desperate times call for unusual measures, so that might be a timetable. Okay, but Jalen, we had some fun last week. I want to bring Dan Orlovsky into the conversation. For those of you who are with us on Friday, Jalen is from Detroit and a lifelong fan of the Lions, and he has something he wants to see his beloved Lions do in the draft a week from Thursday. Go ahead, Jalen, make your case to Dan Orlovsky.
Dan Orlovsky, I'm going to be watching the NFL draft. Like, I've been watching it for 47 years as a Lions fan, and I've seen us take Joey Harrington, Andre Ware. I've seen us take a wide receiver for 5 straight years. I've seen the Matt Millen era. I've seen all of this, okay? I remember Eddie Murray missing a field goal versus the 49ers in the early 80s that would have took us to the Super Bowl, okay? This is what our squad should do. We should, number one, allow Matthew Stafford to go somewhere after this year where he can possibly get him a championship and get in the Hall of Fame. He's a top 10 quarterback. But if he continues to be the Lions quarterback, he might not go into the Hall of Fame. And if you're the Lions, you let him play out this year, get his value back, and then you trade him as a commodity. You usher in Tua, like Dan Orlovsky just said that Patrick Mahomes was allowed to do. They swung for the fences. They rolled the dice, and they got Patrick Mahomes. That's what I want my Lions to do this year at the draft. Roll the dice for Tua, because we know, if healthy, he's going to be an all-time great quarterback. And it will pay me as a Lions fan over the next 10 or 12 years if he's not in our uniform.
What do you think,
Danny?
Your
thoughts, sir.
Jalen. You know, I have nothing but love for you, for Jalen, but this is outrageous to think about. First of all, why would you willingly pass on a quarterback or get rid of a quarterback that's a guy who has Hall of Fame in his game? Like you just said, Matthew Stafford's a Hall of Fame worthy quarterback, but let's usher him out? That's not, you don't do that as an organization. Two, this guy was playing MVP caliber football last year. If you are Matt Patricia and Bob Quinn, their head coach and general manager, you have to win now, and Tua doesn't help you win right now. You mentioned the drafting of Joey Harrington. That did not help the franchise. Andre Ware, that did not help the franchise. The last thing the Lions should do, should think moving on from Matthew Stafford,
Jalen,
is a good decision.
Jalen,
I love you.
I'm not sure
this
he copied
is not smart.
One little part of that. You're talking about one more season of Stafford, right? And moving on at the end of next year.
Exactly. That's absolutely what I said. Allow Stafford to play this year, get his value up, and then trade him to the Chargers. Trade him to the Patriots. Give him a chance to win, Dan.
I understand that you want him for this year, but they have, like, Tua doesn't help you win this year. You need a pick at 3 that's going to help you win games with Matthew Stafford this year and in the future. I'm not going to come at you like Stephen A. did last week, but no way.
I got to tell you
over
one thing.
Dan Orlovsky's favorite thing in the world.
I know the quarterback from Ohio State is going to be an all-pro player.
We're running
be the
out of time. We're in fact out of time. We're not running out of anything.
Deontay,
we have run out of time. This conversation will continue off the air. Meanwhile, Kyler Murray, Baker Mayfield, and Joe Burrow. Who's the best prospect? The answer next.
Geico knows there are many reasons why you ride, from the camaraderie of the other bikers, a band of brothers, always there for you, rain or shine, to the amazing savings you get with Geico on your motorcycle insurance and accessories coverage all year round. But for Bucky Hornhill, it was one reason in particular.
It was my helmet hair. I was born with helmet hair. I've tried to cut it a bunch of times, even buzzing it, but it immediately just goes back to helmet hair.
Geico Motorcycle. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
We are back on Get Up, and if you've been following the NFL over recent years, you know that quarterbacks have gone number one overall the last couple of seasons. Going back to Baker Mayfield in 2018, he was the number one pick after winning the Heisman, threw 27 touchdowns as a rookie, which was an NFL record for a rookie. The following year, another Oklahoma Sooner went number one, another Heisman Trophy winner. That was Kyler Murray. He had a good year, became the third rookie to throw for 3,000 yards and run for 500. And we expect to be the third straight season where a Heisman Trophy winning quarterback goes number one overall. It'll be Joe Burrow, who was expected by everyone to be the first name called a week from Thursday. So it's sort of set up an interesting discussion that we had in our first hour here this morning. And I have Dan and Marcus back with me because I asked you guys, if you were to have all three of those available, who would you take number one? You both took Joe Burrow. I then threw Tua Tagovailoa into the mix. You still took Joe Burrow. I would like now to show you a note I got from your friend and mine, Mr. Todd McShay, draft analyst extraordinaire. This is what he wrote to me. Quote, Sam Darnold was more talented than Baker Mayfield, Kyler Murray, and Joe Burrow coming out of college. Darnold just needs people around him. So, after I did a little dance around my house, I then said, I can't wait to bounce this one off of Dan and the Big Swagoo. Dan, I'm trying to read the look on your face. What do you think of McShay's note?
I knew I loved McShay, Greeny. I knew I loved him. Listen, I mean, I don't have a T-shirt of many quarterbacks in the NFL, but I've got one of Sam Darnold. I've got a 14 T-shirt of magical sloppiness. You know I'm Sam Darnold's biggest fan. You know how hard I think it is to go and beat Sam Darnold. It's very interesting that McShay kind of have him ranked or rated like that because I'd say the difference, if I'm going to be serious here for a second, the difference between Sam and Burrow is Burrow doesn't panic, and Sam has moments of panic. There's that in his game. Now, I think that his arm is more lively and pops more than Joe Burrow's. They both have that great creativity in their game where they can make something out of absolutely nothing. But I still think that Joe Burrow has more poise and less panic in his game by Sam Darnold. But I don't have a Joe Burrow t-shirt. I got my Sam Darnold t-shirt, Greeny. This one touches my heart, McShay.
Swagoo, what do you think?
Man, who you starting the franchise with, man? Answer the question.
That is the question.
I'm gonna start it with Sam Darnold.
You're gonna start it with Darnold over Burrow or Mayfield or Kyler Murray. Swagoo, your reaction.
My reaction is the same reaction I had when you asked me the last question about Tua. I'm starting with Joe Burrow. I cannot get it out of my head how good I think he's going to be on the next level. And, gee, let's get to another thing. Football context, being serious for a moment. Are we forgetting how sneaky athletic Joe Burrow showed us he was this year? There was a number of times where he used smart athleticism. And then there were times where we were like, yo, I didn't know he had that in his bag. The ability to run away from some guys, to slide and go up the field and score touchdowns. Like this kid, if you look at his game, and one of the flaws I remember about Sam Darnold coming out was that he turned the football over. That was one of the things that a lot of people talked about with him coming out of the draft. As far as talent, arm talent, all of that, yes, I agree. But if you rated Sam Darnold higher coming out of college based on seeing what Joe Burrow did at LSU, you are out of your mind if you would have Sam Darnold and Joe Burrow rated, if you would have Sam Darnold rated higher than Joe Burrow after you watch what took place this year in college football. That's my point. Now, if we going as far as the things that you look that jump off the page in the combine and he can throw it and rip it and make some throws Joe Burrow can't, maybe I suffice and that's your legit argument. But if we comparing the two players based on their years in college when Darnold was at USC and what Joe Burrow did at LSU, it's not even close.
Dan?
Yeah, but Marcus, you can't go like comparing the years. Like we've seen quarterbacks throw for 45 touchdowns and not be good pros. Like you can't do it off of that. It does have to go off of somewhat of what they do skill set wise. and trait-wise, and then does it transfer into the NFL, and can you take those things and elevate their game? It's not just about their performance. Joe Burrow had the greatest college quarterback season ever.
Yep.
But if Sam Darnold was in that same situation, we could play the if game about it or whatnot. But I think that the difference is, because arm strength does matter. For it is not the most important thing, but it is something that, especially in today's NFL, like, being able to make some throws other guys can't does matter. And so Sam Darnold's arm relatively stronger than Burrow's is probably a difference maker.
Final words, Swaggoo. Go ahead.
We're short on time, but let me ask you this. Who would you have taken over Andrew Luck out of Andrew Luck and Joe Burrow?
Andrew Luck.
Because Andrew Luck was clearly better. Is it something you got to think about with Sam Darnold and Joe Burrow?
Yeah, no, this is all close right. to me. And Burrow, Burrow doesn't panic, and Sam does a little bit, but Sam's got an arm.
Look, there was a time when people were, and I'm going to clean up the expression. They were saying you should stink for Sam. That isn't the word they used, but I've cleaned it up a little bit. And they were tanking for Teddy and all the other things that we've talked about out there. Those guys don't always wind up being the number one pick. Neither of them wound up being the first quarterbacks off the board. And people were tanking for Tua, and here comes Joe Burrow. We'll see. For the record, whatever it is you say about nine, your beloved nine there, I say about 14. Meanwhile, our look back at some of the greatest Monday Night Football games rolls on. Week 4 of 2009 was Brett Favre's first game against Green Bay after he signed with Minnesota. It's Packers, Vikings. It was a great night at the old Metrodome, and you'll see it 8 Eastern on ESPN and on the ESPN app. Coming up, you can take your Tom Brady, your Patrick Mahomes, and your Aaron Rodgers. We're going to show you a quarterback that might have a better arm than all of them. Trust me, you're not going to want to miss this. Get up! ESPN.
Geico knows there are many reasons why you ride. From the camaraderie of the other bikers, a band of brothers, always there for you, rain or shine, to the amazing savings you get with Geico on your motorcycle insurance and accessories coverage all year round. But for Bucky Hornhill, it was one reason in particular.
It was my helmet hair. I was born with helmet hair. I've tried to cut it a bunch of times, even buzzing it, but it immediately just goes back to helmet hair.
Geico Motorcycle. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
There may be no games.
No practices.
No high fives.
But we're all still part of a team.
And we all have a role to play.
Right now, that means keeping our distance.
But still checking on each other.
Helping the most vulnerable.
And supporting our heroes.
That are keeping us safe.
Sports may be paused.
But the best parts
are needed now more than ever.
So let's all do our part to help our team.
Right now.
We are back on Get Up, and we're going to talk to this young man here. Jonathan Taylor left Wisconsin after an extraordinary college career with over 6,000 rushing yards, fourth most in FBS history. He's the only player ever to rush for 6,000 yards in fewer than four seasons. And to get that many, you've got to have some big games, and Taylor had many of them, rushing for at least 200 yards 12 times in his career. That's the most in FBS history. And with that resume, he is rated as the number 3 running back prospect for the upcoming draft. Todd McShay has him going in the second round in his latest mock draft. And here he is working out right now and getting set for the NFL draft, or he will hear his name at the end of next week from Wisconsin. Jonathan Taylor live bright and early in Arizona this morning. And Jonathan, thank you very much for taking this time here with us. And I just wonder, I'm always so fascinated by this process. When you hear your name talked about in the way it is and everyone is picking apart literally everything you do, what is that experience like as you hear people projecting what the rest of your life is about to start looking like?
How you doing, Jay? I appreciate you having me on. But it's a real unique experience, just because you get to see all the insides and outs of people who just watch and study your game. And, you know, some people confirm parts that you think, yeah, I think I do that really well. And then some people bring up some things that, you know, you might have to work on and you're going to continue to work on. And they might bring up some things that you thought that shouldn't really need that much work in. But at the biggest extent, I think the biggest thing you need to understand that everyone's just trying to figure out what kind of player you are, and it's up to you to continue to keep working to try to become the best player you can be.
Well, normally at this point, I would ask a prospect about all the different things he's being asked by all the different teams that you've met with, because in a normal year, you would have been flying all over the country meeting with teams during this process. How has this worked? Give all of us a sense, as we have sat here and watched and wondered, how has this worked? What have you been doing the last few weeks?
So the last few weeks, I mean, you've been trying to practice social distancing as far as if you need to go to a grocery store, things like that. But as far as training, you're trying to do the same thing as well. I mean, a lot of training spots are closed down. So if you do happen to have a personal trainer and he's able to still work with you, you guys are still practicing social distancing, but still trying to get good work in. And then there's a lot of team meetings going on with teams, but it's just via Zoom, FaceTime, phone call. So instead of living out of suitcase to suitcase, you're just lining up a bunch of calls at home. But, you know, you definitely got to make sure that you have time and you're ready for a lot of these Zoom interviews, because a lot of times the internet can be a wild thing when you need it.
What sorts of things are teams asking you? What are the kinds of things teams are talking to you about on those Zoom interviews?
It's one of the biggest things. If you're in a team interview with position coaches, OCs, they're going through more film and protections and run schemes. And a lot of times if you're on a Zoom FaceTime call with the head coach, GM, they're asking more about your background, you know, how you're about your time at college. What will you bring to the team? So it really varies on who you're in the call with.
You know, any of us who follow football in the Big Ten saw you play week in, week out, and it was a spectacular career. And I saw this quote that you had from back around the time of the Combine where you consider yourself a playmaker similar to Zeke Elliott, Todd Gurley, and Saquon Barkley. So which NFL player do you remind you of?
Really, I think I try to blend myself together with a bunch of people. I mean, as far as growing up, my favorite running back was Arian Foster. He was so smooth coming in and out of his cuts. And then Ezekiel Elliott, his ability to always fall forward. Saquon Barkley, his ability to burst through the line and then take it the distance. So I really try to have a blend between a lot of different backs in order to create something that's unique.
You've seen, obviously, as one who was a student of the game, that the role of the running back has evolved significantly in recent years. How do you see yourself making an immediate impact in the NFL the day you get there?
I think the biggest thing will come through learning the playbook. I know a lot of guys that come in rookie year, it's a new change. And the biggest thing is understanding what's going on. As long as you know what's going on and you're able to go out there and play fast, I think that's how you make an immediate impact. So I think the biggest thing would just be me diving into the playbook and learning everything I can.
And really quickly, what's the one thing you need to work on the most, the thing you need to get better at to be the player you want to be?
One of the biggest things I want to continue to put making plays in the third down area on tape. I've had 1 year of really showing that in college, and I know consistency is a big thing at the next level. I'm all about consistency, so I want to continue to do that, develop routes so that I'm able to run the entire route tree flawlessly.
Oh, yeah, that's a huge part of the pro game. All right, what are the plans? What was this, again, such an unusual year. What will you be doing next Thursday or Friday night as you wait to hear your name called?
Next Thursday, I'll be back home with family and friends. Not too many, though. You can only have 10 people at a gathering. So it's tough because you got to pick and choose which closest family members and friends that you want. And it sucks, but that's just something that we have to do in this day and age right now.
That's an unusual time. But listen, you had a sensational career again. It was a pleasure to watch. Good luck to you. Thank you for doing this today. And we look forward to watching you on the next level. Thanks very much, Jonathan.
Thank you so much, Jay. I appreciate you having me on. Thank you.
Our pleasure. Thank you. And, of course, this year's NFL draft is one of the deepest at so many positions, and we'll have every pick once again live on ESPN. It's also available on NFL Network, and ABC's coverage will focus on the prospects' journey to the draft. It all comes to you Thursday, April 23rd through the 25th, with all 3 days also live on ESPN Deportes, ESPN Radio, and the ESPN app. Coming up, Dak Prescott, a very skilled quarterback, doesn't make a lot of mistakes, but did he make a big one off the field this weekend? Stephen A. and Max will talk about what he reportedly did and why they take issue with it. First Take follows us in just a few minutes here on ESPN. We're back on Get Up, and this was, and I think continues to be, the most interesting conversation around sports right now. The NCAA has not yet made an announcement about how the college football season will be affected by the coronavirus pandemic, and it only stands to reason that they will try to come back and play their season as soon as they reasonably can. And I don't think there's any room for criticism of that. But reasonably is a complicated word. And so I've got Dan and Marcus, and Laura Rutledge has returned. Because, Laura, I think you've had the most interesting stuff on this all along. You've been talking to so many different people. And the obstacles that exist in college, for a variety of reasons that we might not think about every day, are totally different than the obstacles that exist in the NFL. Your overall thoughts on what it will take for them to be able to start what looks like a college football season?
Well, look, Grinny, recently we brought up on your show about the fact that maybe we could see some conferences just based on regions of the country begin playing and they might just play each other. I mean, look, we're just throwing scenarios against the wall because that's what's being talked about right now behind the scenes. Everybody throwing these ideas out there. What I've heard since some of those conversations have happened is that increasingly there's this thought of we've got to see the NCAA unified in all of this. And I understand that because it would open up such a can of worms if you started to see a unification different from that and you started to see just conferences doing their own thing. So I think what the NCAA is looking at is how can we have a college football season in this 2020-2021 year, which is, I believe, going to happen, but also keep some sort of unity, which I think that's where you look at the timeline potentially being pushed back. One thing I want to throw out there, actually a couple things. I think one idea is that maybe we see the coronavirus return in colder weather. So some people say, even if you push the season back to November, you know, could it have a resurgence? And that's obviously the most important thing here is protecting people's health and safety. So maybe you even see a college football season for this year begin in the spring or sometime around that time. I'm just throwing it out there as an idea that is being discussed in some circles. And obviously the timeline gets very complicated there. So that's something to remember. But I think that at least opens up a timeline where you could see players back on campus. You could see schools beginning operation again, these universities that have a lot of very high level medical institutions who are going to be very involved in this. They're going to want to make sure from the medical standpoint, they're doing the right thing here. And then the other idea in all of this is, could you see online classes be such a big part of this? And I think that's where, you know, that's a very real possibility that online classes become a major part of how this could all work for everybody involved.
All right. So the idea of them playing in the spring is one that you hear as mostly whispers, I think, at this point. Is that even a possibility? Because if you play in the spring, I guess my question to you, Marcus Spears, is if they play a season in the spring, can they then turn around and play another one in the same fall? Can you play two full football seasons or even close to that in the span of 11 months?
No, we were having a conversation earlier when we first talked about this, about these guys not becoming professionals. I think at that point, it's overkill, G. So to that point, yeah, it would be very difficult to play a season in the spring and then get it right back going. Basically 365 on the calendar, you're playing football. The other thing is this, when you think about what implications this has outside of college, I think right now, and rightfully so, for those who think of it in this regard, they're thinking only about college campuses, students, classes, and things like that. But we've always known that the NCAA and college football has operated in a totally separate entity than anything that has to do with school. And if you don't know that, or if you deny that, you are absolutely out of your mind. So to think that because they do this, these guys will be regarded as professionals. Hell, we already on campus when no other students are on campus. It's so much more to say, but you kind of get the gist of where I'm going.
I do totally. And we're going to save time for that another day because this was not the end of this conversation. But Dan Orlovsky has prepared a little something for you today, Marcus, because we all watched Marcus Spears play during his career in the NFL. He was a defensive standout, of course, for so many years in the National Football League. But Dan Orlovsky, we came across some tape that demonstrates that the big fella had some other skills as well.
Greeny, Marcus kept telling us, check my credentials, right? Like, check my credentials. Well, we got some football credentials that we can look at, some tape of his, and watch him play football. First of all, bottom of the screen, that's Marcus Spears. Let's watch him play a little bit wide receiver. Now, he always tells us, man, I got the best hands ever. I was an All-American tight end or whatnot. A little bone to pick, Marcus, you're catching this thing with your belly. You're a body catcher. Let me see the hands. Now let's get to some of the good stuff. Marcus, set your speed. Oh, look at the vision. Look off that safety. And now can you make the throw to duress? Oh my goodness. Look at that arm angle right there. That ball is all the way behind that right shoulder. Look at this thing track downfield. 55 yards right in the wide receiver's belly. Everybody's celebrating. When I watch this, I'm like, man, Marcus Spears, look at the big fella on the sideline. He's everything the Raiders thought they were getting in Jamarcus Russell. The big, athletic, strong-armed quarterback. Man, we checked the credentials. You got him. You got him, big fella.
Swagoo, that is a great throw. I mean, that is a genuinely great throw. Take us to that moment.
Gee, the moment was great, man. Actually, we were looking for some offense. This is still the worst loss I've ever suffered in my football career. We were looking for some offense. I told my coach, Eric Randall, who played quarterback at Southern University, I said, man, we need to throw the tight end double pass. We have to. Now, let me explain some things in that video that Dan obviously missed. All right.
Come on.
If you look at the catch I made off the pass, I was already looking downfield to make sure the play was developing the right way. I invited the pressure so the safeties would think I would bring it down, and nobody thought I had an arm except Laura Rutledge on this show because she's seen me week in and week out during SEC Network go throw the ball better than most of the quarterbacks that we were covering. So that when I tell people to check my credentials, y'all just make sure y'all do it. I was something like a baller.
All right, Laura, here's the real question. We asked you earlier this morning, if you had the first pick, would you take Burrow? Would you take Kyler Murray? Would you take Baker Mayfield? Having seen this tape, if I added Marcus Spears to the conversation, should he go ahead of any of them as a quarterback?
Obviously, Greeny. Marcus Spears is who I'm starting my franchise with. And here's the other reason why. Have you seen his basketball tape? Because he's a hooper. He's a baller. He's unbelievable. The guy can dunk. He can shoot the three. He can do it all. So absolutely, I'm choosing Marcus Spears to start my franchise as my quarterback. Hello.
Danny, final word.
We just created an absolute freaking monster right now. Marcus got a big old head to begin with. Now we're talking about him playing quarterback, first pick of the draft. Greeny, are you surprised that when the team needed offense, he told the coach, hey, don't worry, I got it. Classic Marcus.
Gee.
Yeah.
According to Dan, I should go first. I got a damn arm.
I'm out of time. We will see you tomorrow. First Take starts now.